Well, how does the prospect of another new year strike you? Are you raring to go? Can't wait to see what delights fill 2019? Do you have your holidays booked? Does anyone have their holidays booked? Yeah, a couple of organised people. Have you highlighted those red letter days in your diary? Birthdays, anniversary, for some of us, maybe retirement? Or are you worried and depressed and fearful about what 2019 might hold for you? 2019 is the year of Brexit, after all. Did you wake up on the 1st of January and mutter, "Not another one"? Even the most unreflective of us at this time of year spends some time looking forward and looking back on our lives. For us as a family, this year was doubly reflective as we said goodbye to Ellie's family home, her childhood home, for the last time. Her parents had lived there for 28 years. It was a big day full of looking back on all those memories. And for my in-laws, who are a bit grumpy about the house they're living in, looking forward to a new home without mould and windows that don't work and stuff. As it's the new year, maybe I can ask you, how is your life going at the moment? Is it what you hope for or not? Is it full of joy or full of misery? Modern life tells us you have only one life to lead, live it to the full. So we fill our lives with work and busyness. We take up exercise so that we can keep healthy. We play hard, taking up challenges and seeking experiences. If we're retired, we might make up our bucket lists, join many clubs and take up sports and seek the perfect forever home. Our society drives us to make the most of our lives, to succeed. But all that tends to lead most people nowhere. Rather than purpose, fulfillment and joy, it's sadly stress and depression that have characterized modern life as people seek after this full life. The modern world kind of paints our lives as a blank canvas and us as amazing artists, ready with every color imaginable to paint on that canvas the most amazing and memorable life. But it's not all like that. There's the reality of disappointment, illness, death, disaster, brokenness, insecurity, poverty, just to name a few. And often we end up feeling far from in control of this life we have, as if someone is throwing big tins of black paint willy-nilly on our canvas of carefully constructed dreams. I don't know where you are in your life, good or bad, but I know one thing, that the modern world is utterly wrong in its picture of life as something we have, something we control, something that we are to fill ourselves. Because life is not a possession, it's a gift. And life is not an experience, it's a person. And that person is Jesus. As we read the introduction to John's first letter today, John is clear. The divine source of life itself became a person, Jesus, who walked this earth, and John wants us to know he knew him. John's letters were almost certainly written by the same John who wrote John's Gospel, John, son of Zebedee, one-time fisherman, later known as the beloved disciple of Jesus. And John's Gospel, the other book, is famous for its I am sayings, and maybe you can recall a few, where Jesus makes startling claims about who he is. And in three of the seven of them, he claims that he is the life. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He seems to be preoccupied with him being the life. Jesus is clear, as is John here, following Jesus is the way to find true and fulfilled life. Indeed, he is the very source of life, our life, indeed. Life is a person. Jesus is the life. So let's explore this with John under three headings. Life is a person who has been revealed. Life is a person who is proclaimed. And life is a person with whom we can find fellowship. So as John starts his first letter, his great image of Jesus is the life. The opening we've had read to us by Ellie is a rings bells, doesn't it, to that other opening of the John's Gospel that Ash read part of as well. Both are very poetic, and both in his Gospel he speaks of the Word that was with God and is God himself and came to dwell as flesh amongst us, a popular Christmas reading. But here John takes a different tact. He talks of the life which was from the beginning, which was with the Father, who then appeared to John and his disciples. Those of us familiar with the start of John's Gospel might read that term, the word of life, at the end of verse 1 and think we're in very much the same territory here. And we are. But actually, there's a different image that John is majoring on in this introduction, and that is Jesus as the life. It's there in verse 1, the word of life. Verse 2, the life appeared, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with us. So life, John wants to tell us, is a person who has been revealed to us. So who or what is this life? Well, it's fairly obvious from verse 3. This life is God's Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal and divine Son of God, who is the source of all life. He gave life to creation at the beginning and to every one of us who's sitting here or standing here and breathing today. Our life comes from Jesus. He is God and has always been so. But then he was revealed to John and his companions in the man Jesus. The Son of God was revealed as the man Jesus. And this is the really key thing that John wants us to grasp. Today, that the Son of God, the divine life, has been revealed to us in the person, the real human person of Jesus. And John goes to town to emphasize the tangible, earthly nature of that revelation. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared and we have seen it and testify to it. He wants to know, us to know, that he has experienced this life. He's touched, he's seen, he's felt, and there's a reality to it. He wants us to know that the same life, eternal and divine life, who dwelt with the Father from eternity past, and indeed is God, was revealed as fully human, fully of this world, fully physical, enough to be seen and heard and touched by John himself. John says, I have seen life as a person. I have heard the life speak to me. I have touched the full embodiment of life. Life has become a person, and I have met him. Why, though, is John wanting to tell us this? Why is it so important as he opens this letter? Why is he so emphatic about Jesus being both fully divine and fully human? Well, it's absolutely fundamental to our faith, so obviously he wants to talk about it. But it also becomes clear later in the letter that we'll be studying over the next few months that there are those who have been teaching John's readers a heresy that Jesus was not God come in the flesh. We know from early church writings that there are those who have been, that John was probably in Ephesus, and that there at the same time were those who taught an early form of the heresy known as Gnosticism. And it seems that John writes to counter some of these ideas. Gnosticism saw the world as inherently evil, and that God, as perfect and good, couldn't possibly enter the world because he was so perfect. So they denied that God the Son could have become a human being. And some taught that Jesus was not really God. He just appeared, that God did not become a human being. He just appeared to be a human being. Or that the divine Christ just sort of joined in with Jesus between the baptism and the crucifixion. They came up with all sorts of different ways of denying the truth that John wants us to hear here. The life, the divine life, became a human person. John insists he has touched, seen, and heard that divine life as a human person. He witnesses to it, so they can be in no doubt. Followers of Gnosticism also claimed extra secret knowledge from God. But just look how clear John is here. The source of life, this great fountainhead of divine life, has been revealed in a person who we've seen, and we've seen him publicly, and clearly loads of witnesses to him, not just the disciples, but hundreds of people still alive. You don't need any secret knowledge. It's all been plainly revealed to us in Jesus. And John will also fight in his letter the tendency of Gnosticism to make knowledge and the mind the be-all and end-all of Christianity, or its perversion of Christianity, at the expense of of things like love, of good behavior, and of faith. And John will urge us to those things. And as we see John tackle these different issues in the coming weeks, maybe that's the message that we most need to hear in our part of the church today. Knowledge is only part of the picture. We must be combined with love, faith, and godly behavior. So John tells us, life is a person who has been revealed among us. But that knowledge of this life as a person is not simply enough, as I've just been saying. Life has become a person so we can have fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. That's what verse 3 is about. But how do we get to that place of fellowship? Well, it's through proclamation. John proclaims the word of life, verse 1. He proclaims eternal life, verse 2. And he proclaims to his readers, verse 3. So we move on to see that life is a person who is proclaimed and must be proclaimed. John's opening proclamation in his letter is that life is a person. The divine life, the source of our life, became the very real and physical person, Jesus of Nazareth. He wants us to know this life, this Jesus. And so he proclaims that the life has come to earth. And John goes on, this very physical embodiment of life went on to die and rise again to new life. So he is also the source, verse 2, of eternal life, our future renewed life. Or as Jesus put it in those I am sayings, I am the resurrection and the life. We find all our life in Jesus, the life of this age and the life of the age to come. No wonder John wants to proclaim this Jesus, this life, to speak about him, to write about him. He wants others to share this eternal life they can find in Jesus. For while Jesus provides physical life to all as a general gift, to find the gift of spiritual life now and life for God's in God's future age to come, we need to seek Jesus and ask by faith for this gift of eternal life. And this happens as we hear that word of life proclaimed and respond towards God with belief, trust, and faith. We have to trust that that divine life that the divine life became that baby, the first Christmas, placed in a manger, but then went on to die that Good Friday death and rise back to life that first Easter Sunday, and is now back with God in heaven, and that that life will one day return to bring complete and fullness of life to his creation and all who follow him now by faith. We are to believe based on John's and the other disciples' witness and proclamation, their witness and proclamation that they have touched the life who became flesh and wrote down it for us in the New Testament that we study in church and individually. And in particular, we might like to look to that particular piece of evidence that John hints at in that wonderful phrase, our hands have touched. It evokes those powerful scenes after Jesus has risen back to life, when he invited people to touch him, to prove that not only was he, the life became flesh and was a real and tangible person, but that he risen to new physical life too. He was real. He was not a ghost. And how he invited Thomas to put his hands in those scars, which were still there on his risen body. Scars which speak of our healing, speak of our forgiving. I've seen him, I've heard him, I've touched him. Not just the life become flesh, but the risen life, the risen Jesus. The wounds that have made you whole, I have touched with my very hands, John says. So believe in Jesus. At the same time, these are amazing and wonderful truths, but we must not forget that theme that runs through this, the amazing truth that our faith is about a person, Jesus. Life is not a force up in heaven, but a person that we can meet. We must guard our tendency to make our faith about just a set of ideas, a set of propositions to believe, and leave that person behind. The gospel message is not about Jesus. The message is Jesus, the word of life. When we proclaim Jesus, he is present and active. That's a wonderful encouragement when we want to share Jesus with our friends. We're not just sharing some ideas about Jesus. We are sharing him. We're inviting them to come and find this life become a person. We see here clearly the personal experience of Jesus which John had, and he invites others to have likewise fellowship with Jesus and God. As we proclaim the way to life as John did, and we must, we are proclaiming Jesus, drawing people into a relationship with him, pointing them to him that they might know and adore him too. That's what the scriptures do. They point to Jesus. That's what the Spirit does of God. He points to Jesus. So that's what we as the church do too. All we do, we point to Jesus. That is why we are here. So life is a person, but he's also who is revealed. Life is a person who is proclaimed. But then in verses 3 and 4, John gets practical. He wants us to cash this out in our day-to-day life as a community of believers. He has proclaimed to us that the Christ, the divine life, is a person, Jesus of Nazareth. But he tells us this so that we might find that life by faith and so find fellowship. John writes, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So life is also a person, Jesus, whom we find fellowship. Through Jesus the life, we find fellowship or spiritual partnership with other Christians as we gather together in church and in the worldwide family of God, and with God, our Father, and with Jesus the Son. Here is where we begin to see how to make the most of that one life I started at the beginning by talking about. We make the most of it by seeking and finding in Jesus the true divine life and fellowship. And in him we have access to the life of God. In him we have access to a worldwide community, the church, which God is molding into a community of deep mutual love and peace. We are together one great family of faith supporting each other. And so that is where we too find great joy. Verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Well, actually, textually, it's a hard call to discern whether John wrote make our joy complete or make your joy complete. But let's make both of our joy complete, because surely that's what would happen. If we, his readers, are convinced by his witness and proclamation and believe in Jesus and so find life in all its fullness, then that would be a great cause of joy to him. And of course, it would mean great joy for us too, wouldn't it? To know that what more joy is there than to know your Creator intimately and personally? To know that your Creator loves you and delights in you, to know he has a purpose in making you, saving you, and leading you, to know his Son who gave up all the glory of heaven to come to earth to suffer and die, that you personally might be forgiven and freed, and that you might have life and hope for the future, to know that one day you will be welcomed home to be with him forever in his new perfect world, free of tears, death, and evil. To know that you have a new family as we gather here today and across the world, whom God has called to love you and to serve you, people to support you in life, people to point you to God and to Jesus, people to pray for you, to help you in times of need, people who together show Jesus to the watching world, speak of him, and continue his loving work in the world. So many reasons to be absolutely full of joy at what we find in Jesus. What an amazing set of truths that John gives us in the introduction to his letter. But returning to our lives this new year, how does this all help us as we reflect on our lives this new year? Well, if you feel your life is not going as planned, if you look back with regret, shame, or depression even, at how you lived your life in 2018, hear today that Jesus is the life. John tells us that actually we don't just have one life, which we are to make perfect and make the most of. Rather, he says, if we encounter the man who is life itself, we get a second chance, a second life. Wow, isn't that cool? The mistakes of this life can be forgiven and forgotten, and we can taste in Jesus our second eternal life in paradise, which we now glimpse as we look to him, but will one day be ours forever. And so in him we find freedom from the pressure of the modern world to make the most of this life. There is one important thing we have to do with this life, and that is to discover Jesus. And from that flows countless second chances when we screw up, and the help to live life in his strength and to his glory going forward. And if you feel that your life is mad or fraught or miserable as you look forward or don't look forward to 2019, don't despair. Again, find life in Jesus and his community. Here we are promised fellowship and joy through Jesus the life. Through that faith in Jesus, we are brought into a family who are called to support one another, bear one another's burdens, and love one another. A family which is infused with the spiritual power and joy of God and Jesus. So where we are struggling with under life's burdens, find help and strength in Jesus' people. God has put us together to support each other and find joy together in mutual Jesus-inspired love. But that means, obviously, we all need to work together with the help of God's Spirit to become a community in spiritual fellowship with each other and with God. So let's pray for each other. Let's take our needs to God first. Let's find joy and delight in spending time together, praying and worshiping together. Let us love each other as Jesus loves us. Let us seek true life in Jesus. And if we find all that really hard to do, because we're not perfect, a bunch of people, then let's seek Jesus again in prayer that he would send his Spirit to help and revive us. Whoever you are, as we begin 2019, make that step of faith and find true life in Jesus. For the first time or 100th time, it doesn't matter. Come to hear the word of life. Come and receive eternal life from him. Let go of the control of your life and give it to Jesus, the one who is perfect life. Take hold of him instead and let him fill your life. For in Jesus, the future is ours, of the amazing and glorious and perfect world he is making for us to live in. So it is in him that we find hope and joy as we look to this year ahead together. In him that we find fullness and purpose. In him that we experience life to the full. As Jesus says in another of those I am sayings, very truly I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, thank you that you sent Jesus the life to be our life, to give us eternal life, to save us, to be the way in to your presence, and to help us on the road back home to you. Lord God, we pray that you would be amongst us this evening, helping us to know Jesus the life, helping him to show us the second chances we have that we might leave the past behind and find freedom from that which still holds us in the past. And Lord, to be with us, to help us on the journey ahead, to live life to the full, but the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of serving him, the fullness of loving him, the fullness of knowing him who brings to us eternal life. For we pray in his name. Amen.